what are the challenges they are facing, and how do you propose to deal with them? So, it is part of that that we have discussed and agreed to them to have this presentation today. Members will recall that we haven't submitted our report to Parliament, the budget review report. So our discussions today will be factored into that report when we finally do it. And part of the reason why we haven't finalized it is that we wanted to be as happy as we possibly can to have a report that we can all, as a committee, feel happy that it covers and is presented in a way that fulfills our mandate as this committee. So for that reason, we also wanted to reflect on what the new Money Amendment Act bill and its injunction to committees and how they should report, how relevant and how we should be working with them. So we hope that the deliberations today will have a bearing on that report. So thank you very much, Dr. Wesley Mabuza and the CEO. And please introduce the rest of your delegation, and then you can proceed to do the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and the members of your parliamentary committee, and just to greet you. And we are so thankful to be present, and that you could also give time to listen to our presentation, and that we will also have the time to listen to your contribution to our success as the CRL Commission. I am with the Deputy Chairperson, Mrs. Julia Mabale, and with the member of the Commission, Commissioner Leroux, Marlene Leroux, and then the Acting CEO, Mr. Corneille Smart. And we will do the presentation. And can I proceed? Thank you. The first presentation, I'll just try to be brief. I won't read everything that is there because I think I am speaking to the converted. The autonomy of the CRL Rights Commission. Here, I think we need, because the CRL is in its seventh year now, and there needs to be more acceptance and clarity on this question as the CRL was established in accordance with Section 181(1)(c) of the Constitution, Section 181(2). I'll just read this part specially. Stipulate that the institution is independent and subject only to the Constitution and the law. Section 181(3) stipulates that other organs of state, for example, COPTA, must assist and protect these institutions. Section 181(4) stipulates that no person or organ of state may interfere with the functioning of the institution. And lastly, Section 181(5) stipulates that the institution is accountable to the National Assembly and must report to the National Assembly at least once a year. Now, what follows is just an amplification of the above. And mainly because we've had great difficulties when we had to get our tranches, where we have been expected to submit reports to the department, whereas we also are reporting to Parliament. We have no problem with that. If only we could, it could be made clear as to how this needs to be done so that it can be regularized. But when you are still following the Act, it becomes extremely difficult when it appears as if we are not meeting expectations. I think the rest, as you've got packages there, if there's anything on that part, I think, Chairperson, if you allow me, I should cross over to the other part. Except with this one exception that the third paragraph says, according to the definition of the Treasury regulations, the executive authority of a constitutional institution is the chairperson of the constitutional institution. According to Treasury regulations, the accounting officer must establish procedures for quarterly reporting to the executive authority, which is the chairperson. Treasury regulations 84 is not applicable to the Federal Rights Commission. As Section 1J excludes transfers to constitutional institutions. But having said that, just to point to the Portfolio Committee Chairperson, that we are not represented at Treasury when the askings are made, when we are making our requests. We are not represented. We are represented by a COCTA, and as a result, we feel sort of left out in the sense that we are not sure whether all our concerns are met. So that is one concern we have. If I may then go to the overview. The Commission is required to have 4 plenary meetings per year. However, it will not be possible for the new financial year. Now, this is a crucial part of the that we need to be aware of, that we are unable to comply with the CRL Act for the simple reason that, as you will see when the acting CEO makes his presentation, that the big background to this is that for the last year, we've been receiving about 20 to 21 million. Sadly, of this amount, 16 million goes to staff salaries. 2 million goes to overhead in terms of paying for the rental and stuff. I leave it to your imagination as to what is left for programs. This is a serious state where we are at the present moment, if I may just speak to the present, is that we have 15 commissioners part-time and 2 full-time. The 15 commissioners cannot do their work for the simple reason that they have to attend provincial meetings, but we are unable to pay. Right up to now, even Section 22 committees that have oversight on programs have not been able to meet simply because we did not have the funds. That is the reality of the situation that we are facing. We have made several attempts to actually try to meet with the minister concerned. Unfortunately, I think due to his very busy schedule, the minister has not been able to come back to us in any way, except perhaps that only yesterday we were able to meet the Director General. And so we've been faced with this very, very anomalous situation where this is only the second commission, and we are in our second year. We've just begun our second year, and we've been thrust into this strange situation. And so we are in a very embarrassed position. And just to say, and I will say this with no intention of embarrassing the Deputy Chairperson, that even when the Deputy Chairperson became a full-time position, no provision was made. And I think that will probably come. No provision was made for that. And that is also done a lot of harm. And I think there's lots of those things which we probably will answer when questions come. So the second point is, of course, that I already mentioned. The third one is the Commission is required to host a national conference within the first 12 months of each term, as well as a second conference towards the end of the term. We have not been able to do this because we would not be in a position to meet this financially. We have pointed this out several times and requested that we should be assisted, but to no avail at this present moment. And this is mandatory, as our programs are informed by the national conference. And then, of course, resolutions would spring from there. We have begun to set up community councils. And these community councils, we cannot fund them. We cannot, we cannot empower them in terms of giving them material assistance. We cannot send people out simply because we are really in bad shape. Maybe just to the long and short of it is to say, if the CRL Commission was to function well fully, it would need a staff complement of 56 staff persons. It has now 27 full time and 6 temporary persons, and as we get more and more known, requests are coming up which we find we will have difficulty meeting them. However, said not to waste too much time, I think this is the nub of my presentation, after which we will have Commissioner Leroux just giving the background, because she started with the commission when it started, and we thought the parliamentary committee might just want to hear what happened before. Thank you, sir.
Good morning. I do have a slight cough, so if I just cough, I was very privileged to be part of the first commission. And the commission needed to set up a lot of office, firstly. Secondly, to look at the staff complement, which was totally not easy. In itself, for commissioners to get together, to understand each other, that was also a challenge. But I must say it was, for us, it was a challenge, but it was also to get to know South Africa in itself. And that particular structure in itself was then carried over to the new commission. We were very successful by hosting the two NCCs, the National Consultative Conference, and from that particular conference there was various recommendations that was put forward. One very pertinent recommendation is that everybody at both of the NCC was very clear that the listening campaigns needs to go on and to travel to the provinces. But in itself, the mission of the commission is about nation building. It is just a word. But if we not actively starting with programs and bringing people together, then we're still going to be in our silos. With the listening campaigns that we have conducted, it really pulled people together to get to understand, in essence, where we come from, where we're going to, and what do we need to retain from our cultural practices. One successful program of the first commission, which we wanted to roll over in this particular commission, was the youth program. I've brought this along so that we can submit it as the commission. Here we have tackled various challenges, but also topics. What the youth want, where do they see South Africa, what do they think about religion practices, culture, and linguistic communities. It was extremely important. This was the outcome, and I would like just to leave this for the committee. The second thing about which is of utmost importance for this particular commission was that we've established the community councils, which is in the Act. From that particular community councils, I've also brought along the document so that I would like to leave it here, so that I think it's important that we also share some photographs so that you can get a little bit of the feel that we have felt around this particular community council. The main aspect of that community council is was people, if I can explain just a little bit, is that people that's been staying, and you all know that you're in parliament because you're serving the communities, but on the culture and religion and linguistic communities, we could bring people together, different languages, and people that stayed in that particular town that doesn't know each other, that could get together and talk about how are we going to take cultural practices forward. Our dilemma that we are sitting with is that how do we take these forward? These were meetings to establish the community councils. It is about how do we take the recommendations from these particular commissioners of the community forward in order for us to at least implement our act. Lastly, I think it's very important that we need to look at the decentralization also of the commission. At the moment, the commission is in Johannesburg. All of the other commissioners besides the chair and the deputy chair are full-time. I'm not advocating to be full-time. And it's about where we then realize is that all the commissioners are part-time. We all have full-time jobs. And in that way, that the decentralization and with the staff complement that we have, we can't, and we have a very ambitious, I will say, program of bringing people together and to discuss culture. It is beyond our means of capacity, I would like to say. Listening campaigns as well, which we can't follow up at all around because there is not, and it's not just about the money, it's about having the capacity. Lastly, I would like to say also is to look at, very important for us is the relationship about other chapter 9s as well, that we not in isolation of other chapter 9s and to look at and how to strengthen the work of the commission, which I think we're all very passionate is the heart of South Africa. I just highlighted a few of the programs that we looked at.
Chairperson and committee members, thank you for the opportunity that I have today to give this presentation to you. My presentation will intend to speak to the facts that the CRL is living by in trying to fulfill our mandate. So there's no other intent in the communication that we bring to you today. From the Act, we derived the vision as a united South African nation that protects and promotes the CRL rights of all its diverse communities. This is quite broad. It also includes other communities that might be living within our borders that might not be really South African citizens, but they might be a state in that. The mission is to promote and protect the rights of cultural, religious, and linguistic communities. We developed the following program structure from the functions that is stipulated in the Act. We have investigation and the conflict resolution unit. We've got the research and policy development unit, public education and advocacy, community engagement, and then the support services, the administration and management part of the commission. Investigation and conflict resolutions business plan, which we would like to implement for the current financial year that started at the 1st of April. This is the programs that is there, the activities and the targets, and the cost of this would be say roughly R500,000 that we would be able to with the staff capacity that is there and this funding, we will be able to make some progress in respect of these activities that we've listed there. Jefferson, maybe I will not go into detail per activity, but rather take questions if there is. Research and policy development is the same. Fortunately, the handout should be a bit better readable than the presentation, maybe. The total cost there is $1.6 million, and there is three topics, each in the field of each of the C, the R, and the L in our mandate, which we want to make progress on. And then you see the cost drivers there. Then there's public education and advocacy. This is educational programs in respect of the communities and the practices of our cultural, religious, and linguistic communities. The business plan there is costing about $2.2 million. Then community engagement. I need to note that this program seemed to be a bit out of synchronization. If you look at the budget there of $9.5 million, this is inclusive of about $8 million that we would need to host the NCC that had to be hosted last year already. So to invite 500 guests and then host this event, escalating the costs of the last two plenaries, it will bring you to about $8 million that we foresee, so that such an event will cost us. Then the performance of the Commission during the previous financial year in respect of investigation and conflict resolution, there was 55 new and old cases that was finalized, and four cases were referred to other relevant institutions. There were joint investigations with the South African Human Rights Commission and the Amafa KwaZulu-Natal. Then there were three fact-finding missions in the Western Cape, in Limpopo, and in Naledi Mountain. There were three remediation sessions. There was an internal workshop, and then there was a conclusion of guidelines for recognition of the CRL community councils. There was presentations on Sesotho Salabua that was made to the Constitutional Review Committee at Parliament. There was a seminar on tension between culture and human rights. There was a consultative meeting with the United Reformed Church, which used a site of them which was used as a football ground. There was complaint forms that were translated so that we can give it to all our communities. And then there was a meeting also with the Department of Correctional Services on the rights, the religious rights of inmates. In respect of the research and policy development unit, guidelines were published for spiritual religious access and practices in sacred sites. They finalized a report on public hearings on male initiations, initiation schools, a draft report on guidelines on the African ritual of animal slaughtering was finalized, a final report on the rights of the language and the rights to a language, about the Basutu speaking people in Basutu, KwaZulu-Natal was also finalized. That we participated in the review of the Children's Act with the Department of COCTA. An activity report was issued in respect of Ukutwala and other reports on public hearings on Sepedi versus Sesotho Salabua. Partnerships was reached in respect of the launch of the report on sacred sites. That was with the University of Wits in Johannesburg, as well as SALGA. A database of linguistic profile of official and non-official languages was established. Then if we look at the public education and advocacy unit, They had five dialogues. It mentioned where they were and about what. They have distributed pamphlets about the mandate of the CRL, and they had meetings with groups of women in Ivory Park and Tembisa and Ebony Park to brainstorm about how the commission can assist in the protection of cultural, religious, and linguistic rights of their specific communities. And there was a celebration of Women's Month in Freedom Park. Then community engagement. We've recognized several community councils, like stipulated in the presentation. We created a database of elders in three of the provinces. Three community councils were launched, and there were workshops with them, one in Gauteng, one in Western Cape, and one in the Free State. And then in community engagement. In administration, obviously, the work continue there. The financial systems, the human resource management, and those matters is taken care in that field there. Then in the other management fields, we managed to form successful partnerships with the Rhodes Mandela Scholars and the University of Rhodes. There was a seminar held in Rhodes in Eastern Cape around about May last year, which was focusing on leadership and from a cultural perspective also. Then I want to bring to the attention to the committee that in costing, and as we set out the cost up there, the cost on the business plans is not necessarily inclusive of the current staff establishment. So the cost there is really just to the function of the program. So if you add in the administrative fee and staff costs and all of this, then we estimated that to really capacitate the CRL and then to put us in a position where we will be able to really roll out programs. This is the estimate that we have submitted through COPTA to Treasury. And maybe the figures is a bit daunting if we ask for 60 million. It might seem that it's a bit unrealistic. But currently to try and serve a whole nation with 31 people is also a bit really not very effective. So in our costing of our programs, inclusive of everything then, and noting in that the 10-11 year we made provision for the 8 million of the NCC, then we cost that we should be around about 50 to 55 million rand actually to fund the mandate of the CRL. After the budget cycle, then we had our allocation letter that we received from Treasury didn't communicate anything about what we actually communicated to them in that proposal there. What they communicated to us is that from the 20.3 million that you have spent in the 9-10 year, we will give you for the new year a 21.4 million, which is even less than your cost of living adjustment, your increment in overhead, your increment in salaries. The CRL, normally in the budget process, you budget your salaries around about 5 to 6%, as stipulated by Treasury. Then the increments come at 10%, and the department is not assisting or Treasury or and it's not to blame, just the fact of the matter is that the discrepancy in that adjustment is not, the commission is not assisted with it. So then you must make it good. And where will you make it good from? Obviously from the money you have. So then you need to scale down programs because of the discrepancies that is created in that. And then in the fact that the baseline adjustment is constantly less than the organic increment of your expenses on salaries and overheads, it means that effectively your program funding is depleting and deteriorating naturally, and there's not much that you as a management in the commission can really do to manage it effectively. It's not everything of this that is in your control. You can maybe negotiate on things like telephone expenditure, but there's not really much that you can do about your salary expenditure, for example. Then just to talk to, we've reviewed our staff component, also the management during the course of the last financial year. And in that review of the staff component, we also took in consideration the resolutions that was forwarded or the proposals that was forwarded to the National Consultative Conferences that was held. And one of the main cost drivers there is also the request that the CRL must have a provincial or a regional representation so that communities can have access to the CRL. It is extremely difficult for communities to access the CRL if it's only based in Joburg. So the review of this brought us to a total on the post structure, inclusive of the 17 commissioners, of 133 warm bodies that we will need to fully effectively deliver on the on our program. And that is this 133 is in that proposed 60 million, which you have seen up front. And then that's just a breakdown to say actually we have a vacancy of 82 posts, which is not even funded on our establishment. And then, you know, if your positions on your establishment remain vacant and unfunded for an extended period of time, the question arises, so if you can live without this person, why do you need it in the first place? So just take it off and don't. But currently that we the position that the commission currently is in, we can even not make such an assessment because we couldn't have started at this moment even to say that at this position, this is the problems we have, and that's why we can't. It's not about the position. It's just because we can even not start to think of those positions. Then I made a comparison with sister organizations, not to reflect on them or to try to say that we must have what other people have. We must have what we need to deliver on our mandate. But if you compare our mandate to the mandate of our sister organizations, we have three main legs in our mandate, and we need to serve actually more than the 44-odd million people of South Africa, because one person can be in more than one community. You're in a religious or maybe a specific linguistic community, but it's not limited to that. If you are a Afrikaans person, you will only be affiliated to this specific church and this specific language and this specific culture. There is also movement between these fields. So we think that our mandate is really a bit broader than might be communicated generally. So if we look in the from since 2006-07 up to the projected MTEF period of 2012-13, we will see that the increments to the CRL Commission will be around about 10 million, 10.4 million rand, opposed to a 20 million.1 for CGE and the 39.7 for human rights. And we respectfully understand that these commissions are older than us, so they had a longer history and the growth for them is not really just related to the same period that we are trying to establish ourselves. But one of the facts that I want to note to you is that if you look at between the expenditure of 8-9, which was 20 million, going to the 9-10 year, there's only a 300,000 rand increment in the budget, in the baseline of the CRL Rights Commission. So it obviously won't even cover for your salary adjustment. Just to give you a picture of what I'm trying to explain to you. Then the notes to the budget, this is what I've left with you in the in the previous presentation. Our increment is about 5.6 year on year for the 9, 10, 10, 11. In the 20 million that was spent in the 8-9 financial year, there is also an amount of retained funds that was from the first setup of the commission. There was some money that was carried forward for us. So that enables us to carry our expenses. But that was depleted. So the original budget there was not the 20 million. There was a 1.5 that was in there. So it was about 19 million that we had, 19,445,000 that was budgeted there. So if you take that original amount and you calculate the percentage, you get to a 5.68% increment even on the baseline allocation. This is exclusive of considering our actual expenditure that we have incurred in that period. And then the cost of living adjustment to salaries is expected to be around about 10%, which already shows the discrepancy there. And then according to the communication from Treasury, earlier our MTIF period was estimated to be 21,617 for this financial year. It came down with 200 and something thousand rand, which seems not to be a lot of money. But to the Commission, it really means a whole program. Because if you take out the overheads and the salaries, what is left for program is like 80,000 rand or 50,000 rand to fund a specific program. So with that 200,000, we could have funded better on all four of the programs. Just to try and put it in the perspective for you why this 200,000 is important to the CRL. Then we applied for additional funding from COPTA last year to the value of more or less 1.5 million. That was not a successful application. So therefore, the Commission was in a position where we had to roll over expenditure of the last quarter to the new financial year, because we do not have the authority to go into overdraft and borrowing of money according to the PFMA. So as a result, there was no a real other option for the CRL but to roll the expenses, which is really not the best management practices there is. It actually is very concerning and very alarming. But that is the extent to which the CRL had to go just to at least stay within what is in the bank account. Just for a general notice, the financial statements of which will be coming in the new annual report will show that we closed our bank at 12,000 rand in the bank, which is actually just a money to keep open the bank accounts, at least till the new tranches is coming. Just to give an emphasis of the position or where the CRL is finding itself in at the moment. It's just again about the 1.5 million. There's legislated mandates which we cannot fulfill, as the chairperson has noted. The budget inputs we've submitted it, but there is a problem in us getting some feedback on it. So the major challenges that is with the Commission is we from our point of view, we think that there is maybe a lack of access for us to Treasury to really explain to them, for example, that the NCC is not a nice to have. It's something that was legislated by our Parliament, and we will be accountable for not fulfilling on that mandate. There's also a bit of uncertainty in respect of our reporting lines and who should really be representing our needs to people that make decisions in respect of funding of mandates. And the This insufficient funding also limits us in the skills that we can recruit to the CRL to fulfill on the mandate. With that, Jefferson, I conclude my current
thank you very much. That, members, is the overview of the state of things in the CRL Commission as of now. We appreciate the effort that has gone into preparing this, and the inputs of the chairperson, Commissioner LaRue, and yourselves, Mr. Smuts, on the issues that you have tabled before us. Clearly, you are conveying to us a disturbing picture of the state of health, and that is in the area of your relationship with the department, in your relationship with Treasury, and both relate to the questions of accountability and the funding processes. How do they decide what quantum of resources you need if they don't talk to you? Something seems to me what is emerging from what you're saying. Hear you. Members, any comments, questions that you want to point out? Yes. Is that here? Honorable Ndengetwa, Honorable Williams, Honorable Wenga.
Thanks, Chair. Also welcome the presentation, but I just wanted clarity on some of the things that have been presented here. I just want to check, maybe I don't understand the work of the commission, to check if they're saying they have 55 cases finalized and four referred to the relevant institutions. I just want to get a feel what cases they're investigating, three fact-finding missions, and also the mission, what entails in the mission. I also want to check, I'm not good in going through figures, but if you are saying at your estimates expenditure, you need a complement of 133 staff members. Currently, we are having 27 full-time members and 27, which falls into 16 million of your budget for salaries, of which six of them are not full-time. And now we are requesting close to 55 to 60 million for budget. I just want to check the staff complement of your estimate, maybe, and your programs that you're having. Is that enough for the work expected to do? And also, I just want to check on the salaries. In my culture, talking about culture, religion, and here, but in my culture, we grew up not supposed to ask the head of the home with how much is he earning. But today, I think I would have to know, which from lower to medium and high salaries in your staff members, or how much maybe are they earning? And also, I heard you talking about rollover to expenses. I didn't understand that one. Rollover expenses, maybe you spend out of your budget, more than your budget, or you roll over. There was some few money, but I heard you at the end of the presentation saying you've left with 12,000. I just want to understand what rollover, and is it still within the law that you've done that? And also to check your audit reports. Did you get a qualified, unqualified report, and what is it that your recommendation of asking some more is not, or not successful? Thanks.
Thanks, Jefferson. Jefferson, I've just got one question. I'd like to see some audited annual reports, because the information you've given us is all well and fine, but we really do work on audited reports. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like just to go back to the correspondence that's attached to the presentation as well, and also Mr. Smuts's letter to Proctor, and also the SARS claims and the penalties involved. I think you were very silent about that. If you could please explain to us what is going on there. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. My first question is just the possibility of rather mini conferences than one national conference. I would just like to hear whether you discuss that seriously, because there's also merit in that. You can get more people involved, you can do it locally in the provinces, and you get the people together in that area, in that province, that really matters, and perhaps where we should begin. It's much, for me, it's much better than have a national conference and you have from each province only a few delegates and you're there up in the sky discussing things instead of doing it more locally. So I would just like to hear your views on that. Secondly, I just want clarity. Is the deputy chairperson full time now from, and is it Mrs. LaRue that's, as deputy, sorry, yeah. I was just a bit confused there because I heard Mrs. LaRue said that she's got other duties also, which I know she had in the recent past. Okay, so that is clear that you've got a full time, which is also good and assist you. Then we should actually perhaps know it, or I should know it, but how do the sister organizations report? Have you studied that? Is there some of them through committees or other reports or a direct reporting to Parliament that you would like to emulate? I mean, the way we work in Parliament is through committees, whether it is this committee or another committee. I just want to have clarity from you that there's no way that you can sort of directly come to Parliament. Somebody must give special attention to what you present, and that's why we have the committee system and so on. So you might have hopes there that we can't accommodate at Parliament, so we'd just like to know, because I think the other Chapter 9 organizations do report in the same manner. Then my last point is just on the staff and the vacancies. When I saw the figures, I thought, so is the question that you can't find suitable persons, but then as you presented, it became clear that you actually can't fund it. And then with the funding, of course, or with the position goes your programs. It seems to me you're in a catch-22 situation that you might, from your money, fund more people, but what do they then do? There's no programs for them to act on. So either you need the full amount or it won't serve any purpose. So I would just like clarity on that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I would like to know the existence of the commission at lower level, at local, because there is this tendency of structure being alive at national level. But when you go to provinces, you go to local municipality, where we talk about culture, where the culture, the religion and linguistic is, and there is nothing there. Because I think I am, irrespective that I am in Parliament, I am a member of a community somewhere, then I have been really one scratching my head. And even when it say CRL, I even ask, what does that mean? Then it was a long term. If I know that you said that you are 2 years old, but 7 years. Now it is becoming critical because I was somewhere and I've never heard about. And I know that when you are sitting here at National, the work which is supposed to be done is where I was at Moses Kotane local municipality in Bujanala in Northwest at a little place called Morule. I really want to know because, and how do you serve yourself? How do you really make sure that only ordinary woman who is going to the field, who is doing culture, he really knows about you? And what contribution do you give? So that when I come here, because I think one part of me, if I come out of here, I must go and really lobby and talk about you. I have to understand where I sit. Therefore, if you can just give me that background, and bear in mind, maybe I'm new in Parliament. Maybe you were here before. But when I go to the archive, I didn't see anything else. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would like to know about the final resolution of that of African ritual animal slaughtering, and then and that of Sepedi versus Sesotho sa Leboa, as well as the Ukutwala, the final resolution from the community. We can explain to the communities.
I one of the presenters said that the
oh, I'm sorry. I have mine here, unfortunately I have a good maybe staying away for a long time. I don't have to use this thing. Thank you, Chairperson. One of the presenters mentioned something that impressed me about the community council, that it brings people together. That's one thing that I picked up, which is good, and I'm like one of the MPs. I'm seeing this for the first time, and I see that the Northwest has been mentioned, and I would like to know where about in Northwest are you having that? That's number one. And coming to finances, I would like to find out who appoints the commission. Like, I think the there was a presenter who said the vice chair was appointed and there was no funds to pay her. And I would like to know who appoints the member, the commissioners, and what is their term of office. Thank you.
I left behind, I didn't note them. Ngilandelana kwawo. Chair, I'm interested in the guidelines. They are finished with the guidelines of African ritual and animal slaughtering. Is it possible maybe that we can get those guidelines so that we know as public representatives being able to advise our constituents what is entailed in that guideline. And also the reason in this table form, I just want to understand the 8 times 20 equals to 160,000 in, like, it's investigation, consent parties. The 8,000 is per person. What is the times 20 for what? That gives you to the total.
Thanks, sir. Mine is just a small one on public education and advocacy. The performance in indicators, we say 9 road shows, and 9 workshops, and 2 national seminars. Where do you get these people to do this workshop? to ask them the right on papers so that we need two people to come to workshop or to judge up this road show. That's what we put to be clear there. And also there's one which is recovery of diminishing and diminishing the heritage. What do you mean by that? And I would like to be clear there. Thanks.
Thanks, Chipperson. I just want to just get clarity on the nearly 400,000 rand where it went to the CCMA award. I just want to know what that was all about. Thank you.
The first question was about the cases that are being investigated.
Sorry to interrupt. No, I just wanted to say why it was important that we give you enough time so that members must ask all these questions that they have asked you. Because it's important. We should have done this earlier than now. So many of the questions are really like a foundation questions that are important to your life
mm-hmm.
as an institution and the public perception of your role and so on. So it responds, in a sense, a direct response to those issues. So in your responses, you must be mindful of that reality.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
The communities do send some complaints to the CRL Commission, and then those are the cases that we are referring to. For instance, there was a complaint that the Basotho in Kutu were not recognized in their schools. I mean, their language was not recognized in their schools. So, as a result, that is the case. Mutu is in KwaZulu-Natal, in KZN. Okay. Okay. So in Kutu. So as a result, our team had to go to Kutu in KwaZulu-Natal to make on a fact-finding mission to find out what the facts are behind the complaint in order to come with a proper resolution to the complaint. Should I mention another example of a case? For instance, there was a sacred site in Klaprefier in Johannesburg, in Soweto. So where the Mapostola, you know this church, where they performed their rituals there and their baptism. But now when the municipality wanted to build a bridge, it came over, the bridge had to go over the sacred site. So the church complained and they wrote to our commission. So the commission had to get in to resolve the whole thing. So they even had to do some cleansing ceremonies to resolve the matter. Should I mention another one? Right. So those are the cases. And fact-finding missions are when we go there to find the facts. For instance, the Kilomedi people complained also, but we received a complaint from one individual. But we can't take a complaint from one individual. We have to go to the community itself to find out whether do they abide by the complaint of this one individual. And that is the fact-finding mission that we talk about. Right. So I've answered the cases and the missions. I hope it's clear. So I wanted to talk about the Sepedi and Northern Sotho issue. There were complaints that were sent to the commission and also to PANSAP. So the commission and PANSAP also came together to present to
the new Constitution Review Committee about their findings and their conclusions on the matter. And they advised the Constitution Review Committee that they should go for public hearings in order to get a fair view of what the people think about these two terminologies, Sepedi and Northern Sotho. So we were participating in the public hearings all along, but they are not yet through. What we are waiting for is the Constitution Review Committee to call the necessary important stakeholders to Parliament so that they should be questioned by the Constitution Review Committee, because during the public hearings, they were just listening and taking some submissions also, but they need also to question whatever ideas or resolutions that were given forth by the presenters. So that is the problem that we're having now on Sepedi and Northern Sotho, which is not yet finished. Mm-hmm.
The committee was not able to complete its final leg of the hearings, the Constitutional Review Committee. Mm. And it was because of programming problems here in Parliament.
Okay.
So that's work, unfinished work of the committee that needs to be completed,
yes,
including the final part you're talking about of inviting people to come to Parliament.
Yes.
So I was just adding to that one because I remember we received a report about that somewhere else.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thanks.
I wanted to talk about the community councils. It's one of the mandates of the CRL Commission, according to the Act, to establish these community councils. We started with Gauteng, and then the Free State, and then we went to the Northwest, I mean the Western Cape. So the pictures and the reports that she's having is about that. Unfortunately, we couldn't continue with establishing community councils in other provinces because of lack of funding. But otherwise, we had a plan, but because of lack of funding, we couldn't. And the other challenge that we have with community councils is that of funding, because it's easy to launch and establish community councils, but they must be empowered, like in training them on what to do, because now they are having a certificate of acknowledgement, but I'm not sure whether they know what is it that they are supposed to do, because when we talk during the launching, it's excitement and so on, but when we go away, they've forgotten what we have said to them. So they need to be workshopped and so on. But because of lack of funding, we don't have that. And the other thing is, according to the guidelines, there's supposed to be some funding that is allotted to the community councils in order to run their programs also. But we've got a challenge because we don't have money even for the commission itself. So what more about the community councils? But otherwise, the community councils would help in resolving some of the conflicts that we have in communities. Mind you, the community councils are organizations or associations in the communities. They are the custodians of the cultural, linguistic, and religious knowledge that they have, even IKS knowledge. So they are the ones who are to help us when there's a problem in a community. Then we could refer to them for the resolution of that. Because you know, even in counseling, you don't give a person a resolution. That person must come out. You must help that person to come out with a resolution. But because of lack of funds, we are unable to do that. So in Northwest, we haven't yet gone there to launch. Although there are some community council associations that are recognized, but we haven't yet gone there to launch. In fact, in all the provinces that we have names of community councils that are recognized, but what is left is just for the launching of those community councils. So we are still going to go to Northwest. There was a question about the deputy chair who's full time. Unfortunately, there was no allocation for the salary and even for the PA of the deputy chairperson. So they had to take money from one of the programs, I think it's PEA, Public Education and Advocacy, in order to fund sorry, the post of the deputy chair. So which made then that that unit, public education and advocacy, not to function because their money was taken in order to fund the post of the deputy chair, which was a discomfort in a way. Okay, about the existing of, I just want to talk and keep quiet. The existing of a commission at lower level. How do we market ourselves? When you looked at that slide, staff component, there are some 45 posts that should be established and funded for provinces. That is 5 per province. Unfortunately, we cannot establish provincial offices because of lack of funding. There are some municipalities in some of the provinces that are prepared to house us in their offices. But then we need somebody to man that office, even if it's on a sponsorship level. Unfortunately, that person will have to get a salary and so on. So we can't even start even with one person because of lack of funding. Those are one of our challenges. But otherwise, we have interviews, radio interviews, and TV interviews. I'm so sure some of you might have seen them or heard through SAFM, especially Kaya FM, and so on. So that's how we market ourselves. And also, when we go to churches and so on, we talk about that. But it's not as effective as when we're having your communication department, for instance, where people go in full force to road shows and to marketing and so on. And we don't even have marketing gadgets also, like cameras, videos, freebies, pamphlets, and so on. It's a challenge to get such things. And here in the Western Cape, we are even helped by Commissioner Malin through her Artscape company. So we have a challenge in marketing ourselves, but we envisage a situation where we'd be able to go even to the communities, to the grassroots, because those are the custodians of culture, religion, and language. The other one? No, I think I'm all right now.
There's just two things. The one is that I think it's the staff complement that I just want to add. It's that this new commission has also inherited a structure, and I just want to explain, especially when the member has asked about the salaries in particular, where we as a commission will be tasked to relook even at the specific grading, because we were in the first commission, it was about taking over, we were under this particular department, and then we need to adhere to the senior managers' levels of people, and then also DDG levels, which we debated at length, because we've also looked at whether the commission is field workers or more a top structure type of bureaucracy, because the nature of our work is to go out into the community. So if you look at the staff complement, it's basically the advocacy that we want to say that we need more field workers in order to be visible. The second factor is that I am the chair for the Commission on Community Engagement. And one of the things that we ask that we're not having the NCC this year is in particular to look at the motion of, and that is why we came here today, of mini conferences, because we realize the decentralization and the infrastructure in particular of our country with transport, all of that. We can't look at it in isolation, that we can have more people participating in the mini conferences, but also in a sense get the connection of the different cultural councils to interact with each other, that it's not just waiting on a national body to communicate, but that cultural councils can then have a program together, because at the moment that's lacking, that we has cultural councils totally on their own and just debating their own cultures, but we would like to see the synergy also happening, and that is on the mini-conferences. Lastly also is that local government must also play a vital role. And I think our chair is very much into that, because we had a program, Chair, I think you forgot, where the chair went specifically to the premiers of the office of the provinces to introduce the different commissioners in order for us, and that's not a money thing, to form partnerships on local government level on rollout programs. Such a program we had with CIRIS, which didn't cost the commission, but unfortunately, I can lose my job, Mr. Chair, because I'm at Artscape. So I push the commission at all times to be visible. But it's only happening in the Western Cape, and that is why it's unfair to only have these drive in the Western Cape, because we have a parastatal where I am that can drive certain marketing programs. So I just want the committee to be aware of that stumbling blocks that we do have. Audited
financial report. Chairperson, and members, I just want to think that for me there is the elephant in the room, and that is the amount that was asked as to how much I was getting. And I think I need to respond to that, to say that the letter that I received from the president was 600,000 rand per annum. That's what I received. And so I think that that also grows. I think that would be corrected. Unfortunately, as a minister, I don't really look too much into that. And if there's any proposal on that score, I have no problem. But at the same time, just to also respond to how we were appointed, and that there are nominations, and then, yes. Okay. I'm sorry about that, and I don't lightly use priest because I'm married, but I'm a minister of religion.
Okay.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry about that. Chairperson, I just want to say, if we were to be asked again to come, I think we would have our ducks in a row, because we were not aware of the amount of knowledge that is needed for members to make decisions, and we appreciate this. And so the beginning has been done, and I think we just want to say this is how, and then we get appointed by the minister, so we have letters to that extent. And then to just go back to let me also talk about this elephant in the room, the CCMA story, and get it debated perhaps. Just say we were in a very unfortunate situation when we arrived, that we were faced with, I think I need to give the background, we were faced with a situation where there were certain allegations against the CEO then, Mrs. Pumla Madiba. We tried to handle this in a very dignified way, in the sense that we really did not take that seriously. There was an email that was sent to us. However, at the end of the day, we were not able to resolve this internally, just within the staff. And so, being new, we had to take the matter to plenary,
and plenary appointed a committee, it's called the Kizer Committee, which then started probing the allegations in the email. Unfortunately, it was in such a way that some of them could not be substantiated. But what came out very strongly was the fact that there seemed to be an underlying discontent among staff persons concerning the CEO. And I wanted to be as fair as possible, because even the minister, this time the real minister, I mean, of COCTA, had intimated to me that he was unhappy with the performance of the CEO, precisely for the reasons that have been raised here, that the CRL is not well known. And however, as a minister of religion, I couldn't take the minister at his word. I had myself to experience that, because people can have different views about different people. It's only fair that you make a decision. However, the long and short of it is that when the Kizer Commission came out with, it could not come with conclusive answers. We have that if it's needed. But ended up saying, look, let us see whether we could extend her contract, simply because her contract was coming to an end within 2 weeks of that time, two months of that time. However, we were again in an unfortunate position that the file was empty. And we struggled to get the file, and my contention was that as a CEO, I felt she needed to be hands-on in terms of her file having the necessary documentation. And already I was under the impression that if a CEO, her file is empty, and eventually when we did get her job description and her performance contract, it had not been signed, but the one of that year, was not there. The one, what was there was the previous one. So there was that confusion where the HR committee had very little to go by. Plenary then decided, and I'm glad to a person that I say this because the commissioner is here. Plenary then decided that instead of us cracking our heads, why don't we pay her off the remainder of her contract and not get into all these matters? That was the decision. That was done. She took us to the CCMA. I tried. She had an advocate. I had a lawyer. So we tried to show the commissioner that we had very little to go by. I couldn't say to the commissioner and CCMA that she was not performing well, because we had not weighed this in accordance with her job description and so forth. But we just felt, instead of us having lots and lots of debates about this matter, why don't she be paid off? So we explained this, and she wanted 12 months pay there, and what she got was 6 months pay, which was the amount that was mentioned. However, Chairperson, I must say this was extremely unfortunate. I wish it could have been otherwise. The amount has already that we paid there has already been covered by the fact that we have had for almost a year acting, or more than a year, acting CEOs. So that amount has been covered. But the Minister of COCTA, Minister Sitolo Sitlega, had been apprised of this from the start, right up until we went to speak to his advisor, Mr. Ngondwana, and the HR person, Mr. Dr. Siswana. We went with the deputy chairperson and our corporate secretary. And we spoke and explained everything to them. It is unfortunate, chairperson, that the minister cannot remember us engaging him on this matter, and that creates a bit of a crisis problem for us, because we've had several meetings with him, and then we've tried. So I don't want to say more here, and I hope, Chairperson, that I will be forgiven for having mentioned that. I think the committee just wants to know what we have done. If the minister was present, then I would have said more, but I cannot say more than what I have already said out of respect for the minister. And so that is how we incurred this amount at the CCMA. I think if I may, I don't know whether there are questions on that score. The term of office for commissioners is 5 years. But we were fortunate, of course, that with this new commission, we had three commissioners retained, and Commissioner LeRoux is one of them, and they are the ones who assist us with the knowledge that is stored within the CRM.
Just to flip back to the earlier point, that matter of the CCMA, it's settled now.
Chairperson,
or is it pending?
Let me conclude, Chairperson, yes. And say that Chairperson, I think I could be quoted on this, that the advisor to the minister,
yes,
said we could prolong this and go for arbitration, and it would take years. But as a commission, we felt the then incumbent had done work within the CRL. And we didn't want, whatever the case may be, to just let her go like that and let her hang like that. If at all she had been awarded, we felt the CRL, she deserves to get this according to what has been awarded. And we wanted to put closure and move on.
Yes.
And so the matter has been closed.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yes, sir.
So maybe I'm also a priest. Yeah. The file was empty, and then we are saying to ask him, oh, she also deserved to get this money. What do you do? What are you telling us now? Somebody in this file was empty. There's nothing you can refer to. But that means she didn't work. If the file was empty, that means there's nothing you could call from there. But you said now to us that she deserves to get that money. Now there's this acting person now. And then we are saying to us, now the money has been covered by the acting one. How much is now how long is it going to act now? The one who move with acting. Maybe is it going to act for how long? The one who is acting now. He's acting, getting lesser than the one who didn't work. Of course, the one who did a fed check didn't do any thing. Now there's this one who's acting now. Yeah. Just clear
up. Chairperson, I used an unfortunate word, the word deserve. I realized I used an unfortunate word.
Well, let me do this. But you will respond to it.
Yes.
Just doing what I understood you to be saying. You are saying, you notice that without a contract that says this is what she was employed to do, and therefore this is what she did or did not do, you had no legal legs to stand on.
Yes, Chairperson.
Therefore, the decent thing to do is to avoid prolonging this thing, okay, by paying her off in the way in which he asked, in terms of when her term of office would come to an end. Would I be understanding that correctly?
Yes.
Okay. Anything to add on that so that we have a proper understanding? Yes?
I think because I have the advantage of being in the previous commission,
yes.
It's very important that the commission didn't want that particular baggage,
yes.
that the previous commission had,
yes.
because we have work to do,
yes.
to be able to rest that on our competent chair. We were very clear. I was one of the commissioners who was very extremely vocal at texts like this. There's Mr. Smuts.
Yes.
About written warnings that I sent
yes.
as an ordinary commission, Mr. Smuts, that's in the archives, that I did those things. And I also don't want the reputation of our previous CEO to be tarnished here, because this was also things that we needed to dealt with,
yes.
which is employee yes. against employer. That's number one. The second factor is that there was this extremely unhealthy relationship between the CEO and the chair, and not other relationship. It's about was a working relationship where the CEO nearly had our chairperson nervous breakdown. I just want to say that. So it was just the proper way. Otherwise, we would have been curtailed like the other commissioners previously. About just doing our jobs, and that the commissioners need to have a presence in the province. And on that particular chapter, we advised our chair. We could have had a better battle, Mr. Chair, but it would cost us more in lawyer's fees, time-consuming energy that we need to spend on a case where our energy needs to be spent on the nation and developing programs.
Okay.
And perhaps to add to that.
Yes, Deputy Chairperson.
When we got into office, we wanted more information about the commission, but the former CEO didn't want to come open to us, especially the office of the chairperson. So as a result, we were not aware that there was a contract that was unsigned. We were not aware that there are people who are working without job descriptions. We were not aware that there were no performance management. He fought a lot about that. The performance appraisers of the CEO herself. Now, at CCMA, the problem was Reina, as the employer,
yes.
did not do our job.
You're part of the side they're of the story.
Part of the side of the story.
Yes.
Hence, the awarding of 6 months to her.
Yes.
That was another technicality.
Okay. Yeah, Pangala, Bob Matro. You don't feel like I'm talking about it. Yeah.
So if they didn't have money, what else would you say? Because the problem is that they are under resourced. You know? So we cannot do this. We cannot go too far. They are under resourced.
Yes.
Yeah,
so. Let me tell you what my problem is from the chair. They are incoming. You are asking them to answer for what is called.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know that when you take over assets and liabilities. That principle, we understand it. But, yeah. I just want us to be careful that this is what we are talking about. But let me hear you there, sir.
Yeah, can I just add, Chairperson, that I think... one of the things that we need to be aware of is the fact that even if this had happened the way it did, I think I must be honest with you, Chairperson, that I learned a bitter lesson. All along, I was under the impression, and I'm trying to answer the question of the money, that we're traveling with our ministry. The Minister of Culture, because we even came here to Parliament to come and report from the time this whole thing started, because we were new. So I just wanted to say that when you question the question, I was really sure that our Minister knows what is going on, because he was complaining also, and that he would really come to the party, to use the common term now, when we are faced with this situation. But now the minister seems not to be aware that that has been happening, and that's why I say I have learned a lesson and I've grown up myself. But I don't know what else we would have done, Chairperson, after what the commissioner has said in terms of, it was not about personalities, it was about the performance.
Okay. Next question. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm really happy now because I can see a little light at the end of the tunnel, understand where we are going to. But looking at the portfolio, which is Commission for the Promotion and Protection of Rights of Culture, Religion and Linguistic Communities, I would like to ask, because when I see culture, it reminds me of Minister of Art and Culture, which is then linguistic, then I will be saying that there is communication there, there is education there, all those things. I want to know, how do we integrate to work together? So that at the end of the day, because when we don't run fragmented programs, because fragmented programs can be very expensive, more so that we don't have money, and this other department which I have just called, they might have had money, and working together, we can do more. Therefore, how does the commission integrate? Thank you. The more I'm talking about is the real meaning of working together, the more, not the other more.
I'm still very confused about what it is you actually do. And I do think that you should come back with more information. And you should give us the more information about a week before you come back again, so that when we come into this meeting, we can really discuss it. In particular, on your finances, because obviously it seems you're just for being here today to ask us for more money. But I'm not sure why you want that more money. I mean, you've explained it here, but I'm not sure of what you were supposed to do and what you can't do and all of that stuff. But also, we need more of more detail, because we haven't got enough detail to make decisions. Thank you.
I just forget something. And another thing, working together with community development workers, because those people are generalists at lower level, at communities.
I'm sure maybe in future, Chair, if maybe they can come up with a proposal where maybe we can assist the committee. Of course, they don't communicate with the treasurer direct. But it's via our committee now. If maybe they will come in future, say, no, our proposal to the treasurer is this and that, so that we can also help the. Of course, this is between them and the department. Nobody will tell them and the office of the treasurer. If maybe the come up with them with a proposal, whether it will be 1 hour, then we go through all of us, so that we can assist also the minister. Of course, the minister is part of us. Maybe meeting with the minister without the committee, it was another mistake. We were not aware that we were having meeting them officially. We were not aware. Maybe now that we have started, if you can sit down and draw exactly your budget, the proposal, what you want to do, so that because we can also assist you. Thanks, sir.
Jefferson, thank you. About the penalties and interest of this of SARS. During 2007, we were instructed by our audit committee to request SARS our account to see if because we submitted our reconciliations, and we were satisfied that our house with SARS is in order. But subsequent to that, then there was a long ongoing investigation with SARS and our reconciliations, and it came to light that there was some amounts which was not on the books of SARS and which the Commission could not present proof of payment of. And therefore, the interest on that became a substantial amount. And then in settling the matter there, the end of the road was that we still owe SARS this particular amount. It was for tax deducted from employees, the employee tax system. Yes.
Yes. Were those amounts that were deducted from employees paid over to SARS, and could they be proven? If yes, why were the penalties incurred?
Maybe just to reiterate what I was trying to explain is that during that the earlier part of the commission, there was amounts that was raised on the RP5s that should have been paid to SARS, but the commission could not prove a payment to SARS of those amounts. And then because of the time frame involved, it culminated into what the settlement amount is report, was that's reported in the documents. Jefferson, currently will be a bit difficult to speak to the details. I do not have all the details with me at the moment. But it mainly related to again, the capacity issues within the commission. The finance office operated with one or two people. So it happened that some of these things were paid a bit later than the 7th of the month. Then you incur a penalty and interest on that. But I would rather not speak to detail, which I did not prepare well for you.
Chairperson, I'll share some of the things with the Deputy Chairperson, but I just wanted to answer some of the things that have been raised.
Properly first, the one here. Okay. In the absence of your inability to give us the details now, can you provide us with them later? When you have a chance, please do that. Even in writing, that will be okay. We'll follow that up. Is it okay with you, ma'am? Okay, thanks. Any other comment on this question? Okay, yeah, we'll do that. We'll follow that up. Yes, ma'am. But you will come back to. You are still answering the second one, about, unless you are going to answer it.
Okay.
The
okay.
Letter.
Jefferson, the intent of including our correspondences in the PAC is more related to the current difficult position of the CRL and the desperation that we experience in getting ourselves on the right road to deliver on our mandate, than really try an effort to involve the committee in politics between us and COPTA and those. It was just the attempt of this is just to say that we have been to our level of competency, we've been trying to communicate to COPTA, and we've been trying to lay out what is it that we need money for and how much it is that we need and what is it that we intend to achieve if we were to be awarded such monies. But there was a limited interaction, so we could not improve on the explanations or the or making ourselves clear.
Okay.
Because you will submit these comments, and there will not be a direct feedback or a direct meeting of interaction about those. So as limited as those might be, this is the proactive actions that were taken by the Commission to try and resolve the matters from our side. And it's just to show that fact. It is not to involve you really in the inner politics between the departments.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just to go back to the question of the fact that if we had brought issues here, things might have been different. And to say that for us would have hung on the minister's discretion. Because firstly, it was very early. For us, we just arrived and we just didn't know which way to turn except to turn to the minister. So we hear about this. But the other thing, there was a question on, have you had unqualified or qualified audited financial statements? The response to that is that for the last 6 years, there have been unqualified audited financial statements. However, I need to add this proviso that Chairperson, those were financial. They were not audited statements linked to performance. Because if they were, I think some of the things would have been caught. And so that is why we are now left trying to clean at this situation. The other question was, what do we do? What do you do? If just to remind the committee that we are dealing with intangibles. And dealing with intangibles is difficult to say we have produced 500 boxes. However, that does not absolve us from saying we had so many meetings at such and such a place and other places. It's our desire to, we highly appreciate the wisdom of Parliament to have this CRL to assist in strengthening democracy. So that is going to be. It is only now that the auditors have already told us that they will now link performance with auditing, and that will also go with also aligning it to our strat plan as much as possible, and then. There was a question of why are you duplicating in terms of this arts and culture? I don't know if the person who asked that. Working together. Okay. I withdraw that, Chairperson. I withdraw that unconditionally.
I was protecting you. I was protecting
you. Thank you so much. I withdraw that unconditionally, Chairperson. Fortunately, I think as a minister, God looks after me. He made me come with this. This was done and produced. They look very small, but they have a lot of information, sacred size. We were able to work with SALGA. SALGA provided us with the funds, but provided with the venue and the food, and then CRL came with the brains. And we then successfully launched these two books, and we had a wonderful day in which there will be a report on the launch, because people came and there were inputs into looking into these kinds of things. There are other reports, I think, as the deputy will speak to that. So the arts and culture was also involved. SALGA, arts and culture was also involved. So we are looking into that. Presently, the matter raised by the president about a moral debate. We are looking at having discussions with MRM. It's just that we're not yet sure how the president wants this thing to be debated. So we'd like ourselves more information so that we can begin to look into those things. But we are trying very hard to work on some of these. Even justice, for instance, would sometimes we cooperate with them when they deal with their issues, especially when it's to do with the kind of indigenous things about justice
and so they, we do get invited. And so we just beginning and hoping that we can grow. However, let me say this, Chairperson, that if the committee in the course of time does not find joy in our presentations and in the way in which they are advanced, I think it would help us if the commission, the committee could give us direction. Well, Chairperson, there is nothing as painful as to get paid and be told you are not doing much or you are doing nothing. So that Chairperson, I think, if we really care for the state and state funds and so forth, we do not want to find ourselves set up in a situation where we cannot win. For the questions that were asked about how do we become visible, we have been on television, we have been on radio, on things of Ukushwama, on things of Lobola, on a number of issues that we have been on television about. And the more we've gone to Izangoma and spoken to them, people come to us and they want more from us and would like to deliver. However, we are very, very thankful that we know now that we have a home where we can come and say, this is what we have done, and we will be critiqued on the basis of what we have done. So I just wanted to add that. However, I don't know whether some of the questions have been left out. If they have, please, we are willing to answer them, the questions.
Yeah.
Oh, because there's still something from the deputy.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chair. I just want to remark to the Commission that actually only the Chair and myself was part of this committee in the previous Parliament. So I think the two of us have in-depth knowledge year after year on what how it progressed and so on. But it is a fact that we've got a lot of new members on this committee. And therefore, there are these questions about what is precisely done and what do you want to make with the money and so on. So we as a committee, I presume, Chair, will deal with the matter, and then we, as you've just said, then we can put things in motion to get the more information or what else that we need. Secondly, it is very clear for me that you are a commission. The more money you get, the more you can do, because the moment you can respond to more queries, you can do more investigations. The more you do that, you will get more queries, and people will know more of you, and again, you will have to have more personnel and deal with more matters. But I think for me personally, it's a question that we must at least allow you to do a minimum of work that you are tasked with. We as a committee always, after we had hearings, sit on the budget, and we will take it, of course, on board and discuss it among ourselves, and we can also put in recommendations as we have done in the past. The last thing I just want to remark is all these years, some of us, me personally, felt that you really should be reporting to another committee. This came about because this committee was originally the Constitutional Development and Local Government, I think, in those years, something like that. And this is how you landed up with this committee. And as we learned about your work, it is cultural, linguistic, and religion. For me personally, and I think a number of us feel the same way, you can't expect our minister, with all his work with the provinces and so on, to really deal with all your matters. So we felt it's in South Africa's interest, it's in the interest of what you're doing, that you should rather be with another committee. So I just want to ask you on this point, has this been discussed by you as a new board or commission, and is there anything in the pipeline in this regard?
chairperson.
I think it's very important because our honourable committee member has every time said it's the people and the people are residing in local government. I think it's extremely important for us is to look at who do we serve at the end. And I've just brought along some partnerships that the commission had with local government. That's why I'm very sad it's only in the Western Cape as per se. But if the structure of local government with parliament works correctly, we can achieve our goal in a sense. So it is not a matter only of shifting us to a specific other responsibility to a department. If we talk about arts and culture in particular, at the moment there's a lot of focus on artistic development because of our artists that need to become priority and to be recognized as workers on there. So there's a lot of work that's currently being done by that particular ministry. But it's the other side, is the cultural aspect. What is culture in particular that we still need also to look at that? Is this artistic program, which I just for your notice to see this was this particular about the koi that was a particular production, but it's actually a cultural side that was on a stage which was never supposed to be on a stage, just that flip. So the challenge, I think, that the commission has, and perhaps I'm not saying it's a challenge for this committee, I don't want to sound arrogant, it is the passion and the mission that needs to be driven and to look at the recognition in its rightful way of the relevancy of this particular commission. Then it can be with any committee and the drive thereafter.
Could I just also add, Chairperson, thank you so much. Could I just add that, just to remind members that when this commission started, from what I understand, there was no business plan for it.
No.
It just grew a part of look the show where the seed will grow, it will grow. And so there was no business plan. Secondly, We are in a very difficult situation, Chairperson, where we arrive, we have one or 2 months, we are now engaged with strategic planning according to the Act. And we have no clue of what are the nitty-gritties that need to be looked into. And so, as a result, the strat plan this time, instead of the plenary running the strat plan and giving it to the CEO to execute, it was the CEO who directed the plenary in terms of the way she understood. As a result, one of our plenaries wasted about 2 hours in which there was a proposal from the CEO, the then CEO, to change the structure and we didn't even know what was being changed. So I was just wondering whether this committee would be in a position just to be a bit realistic in terms of when to do a strategy for a new commission. It's just a question that would assist new commissioners if they come.
Chairperson, my apologies. I just wanted to, there was a question by one of the members about our report into Parliament and the correspondence that you see in the pack. Just to clarify and say that we as a commission is not discomforted with the current way and places that we report. Usually we are invited by this committee once to present our budget and business plans and those, and wants to report on our annual report, the progress that we did at the end. And we really are not challenging any of this in the attempt in the letter. What we were more concerned of is that we raise issues of our budgeting, and then it seems as if we only reach up until the first person in COPSA that will receive the document. And we are not part partners in the process of the whole thing. So it is not it is not to challenge any of the existing structures and to say no, we must revise them or have new structures. It is more clarify the commission because we want to work within the structures effectively. So in our understanding, this is what we understand. Maybe we can have a guidance on how we can actually really get to the practical way of dealing with our concerns and make sure that things that we present is also in line with the expectations that is about the commission. So it's just actually raising a question like that.
When did you have a full meeting with COPTA?
Chairperson, I don't know whether it will be a full meeting, but we secured a meeting with the director, a general yesterday, and an entourage, which included the advisor to the minister and finance persons. That's where they only yesterday. I even remarked to a person that when you have been looking for a job for a long time, the day you are called for an interview after 6 day applications, you actually buy a cake to celebrate that you are just going for an interview. And so I just did say yesterday how happy we were that there was this interview with the Director General. And we discussed several issues, and if just to let the your committee know, Chairperson, that among the things that we have discussed are the fact that how do we then beef up our communication, open up our communication with them. That is going to be done. They want to see proper comprehensive business plan from us that will be brought in on Friday. And the other thing is that they are willing to assist us with seconding a CEO once plenary has been briefed on that and once we know what the conditions are and so forth. So we had this meeting yesterday with them. If the committee wants to know more about some of our discussions, I think we'll be willing to give you that. Yesterday. Chairperson, I wouldn't know whether that would be the meeting that you are asking, because it was us who would go there to go and ask for ideas, and would get either the... So the last one is, I think, was when we were consulting them about the CEO and the previous CEO. Last year, April. Yes.
Now, thank you. Is there anything else left? Yes. What is it?
There are two questions that are outstanding.
Yes.
The rollover expenses and the 8,000 times 20.
Oh, yes. It's shorter, just one, because I've got a... Just to hear from the commission, this recovery of diminishing and diminished the heritage. This is the reason why. Of course, on Sunday there was a big meeting, there was a pool of massacre heritage in Queenstown of 1921, of which I was part of it. I just want to hear from you.
Chairperson, if I may, I will respond to the two questions of this member. I will ask my chairperson to respond to the other question. In respect of the rollover of expenditure, may I say I'm borrowing a term of when it is going a bit better with you as an institution and you've got some funding left at the year end. You request Treasury approval to roll over that expenditure, that money, so that you can utilize it in the subsequent financial year. And because the program is already there, but for some reasons you could not spend the money. So the commitment is there. So if you do not retain the money, it means that you will have commitments without funding for it. But in this scenario where we are, or where we were at year end this year, there was a 1.5 million of commitments that we could not fund from our year's tranche due to the reasons that were cited in the correspondence in the pack. And therefore, that expenditure had to be carried in the new year once there was cash in the bank, because there was no more cash in the bank. And we are not allowed to go in overdraft. I do not know if that explains it better to the member. No, Jefferson, maybe I must give a because of the money that we owed to SARS and the money that we had to pay in respect of the CCMA claim and money that we had to make available for special meetings in dealing with the whole matter of the former CEO, it resulted in us at year end to have more commitments that we had funding for. Maybe that is more clear there. The business plan part there, this is an estimate of what we wanted to do. You see that there is, this is about investigations, the cases that were cited by my deputy chair there as examples of this. So we received queries, and there's about, we would like to do at least 20 cases throughout the coming financial year in finalizing them. And to finalize one case, we estimate it to cost you about 8,000 rand, inclusive of traveling and accommodation, which is a result of us being centralized. So that 8,000 rand per case bring you to the 160,000 rand that we request just to investigate about 20 cases for the year that the current financial year that we actually wanted to execute the business planning.
Chairperson, this is a huge subject, and again, we work on research on what this is that you get from the community. However, let me just give simple examples of, are we going to be in a position to compile the idioms from African languages, which was the wisdom that helped us to be where we are today. That's one of our heritages. The other diminished heritage was the revival, for instance, of the slaughtering that happened in Natal, Ufama. And the other diminished heritages, just the fact that many of our cultural activities have been trampled upon. For instance, Chair, we are struggling to get our children and grandchildren to respect our languages because of the type of environment and situation that we find ourselves. These are just some of the examples that one can give in terms of saying what is it that we can do. And maybe just one last person, it's not just a question of culture alone. It is unbelievable how even highly educated people will speak very disparagingly of other people's religions, and we do not, if we ignore those things, as time goes on, we are going to find ourselves faced with situations of where Muslims and Christians, like in Nigeria, are fighting. So we have had really, in some situations, we have had to intervene where people said, this is what we are going to do. Just a last example, Chairperson, I tried to find out from somebody who has a PhD, and I said, if we were to approach you to apply for this position, would you be willing? And she wanted to know about the website, and as was saying there that, you know, very few people know about it. She came back to me to say, no, look, I'll be willing to assist the setting up of your things, but according to my faith, I cannot find myself working with other faiths. So it's not just the cultural part, it is also the languages, it is also the religions that we need to bring up, to bring respect for them. So there's lots of things that we could include when we talk of diminished heritage. I was at the question of where we were invited by Izango, health workers, traditional health workers, and the way they were dealing with their ritual, there was a mixture of African traditional religion and Christianity and so forth. So it is those things that we try to look at to say, what does the community want?
Excuse me. It is so important that through our community councils we realize it's about where there is extreme imbalances in our communities, where people have access to resources and other communities don't have access to resources. And for us to look at equalizing the playing fields, it is to have capacity in that. And these are also when we talk about diminishing heritage, where we need to pick up and say to persons, but here's the entire community that doesn't even realize, but in a few years' time, we won't even hear about it, or it's not even written up somewhere where we can take it over to our next generation.
Thank you very much. Is there any question that is left unresponded? Mabuzio, are you happy? Oh, yours was responded to, right? Yeah, I remember that.
And
yeah.
I think there was...
Oh, yeah, sorry, Deputy.
Thank you, Chair. The guidelines on animal slaughtering and the Ugutwala thing. Through research, it was discovered that when culturally they slaughter an animal, they don't just stab it anywhere. There are some special nerves that they stab and to paralyze the animal and let it die instantly without much pain. And it was also discovered that the why slaughtering is because the blood that is going to be shed has got some form of importance to the religion of the people. So there are some guidelines. Unfortunately, we didn't bring everything with us, but that can be sent also to the committee on animal slaughtering. On Ugutwala, for instance, through research, it was discovered that the Ugutwala that was practiced in the Eastern Cape was not the real Ugutwala. That's the diminishing heritage that we're talking about. Ugutwala is a consent thing between two lovers who are to get married. It's not a forced marriage. They elope, if that's the English word that I can use. But there's no force that is involved. And there's no madala, you know, forcing himself on a smaller child, no. Nabasuthu bathi kune ushubekisa uba uchabisa. So it's a very positive thing, not as negative as it was done in Eastern Cape. Like this initiation thing, it was also noted that you know, the press or the media will concentrate on circumcision as if that is the main thing in initiation, while it is just one aspect of initiation, but not the whole initiation. There are a lot of moral issues, you know, nation building and so on, and sexuality also in initiation, not just circumcision. We also have that report. And then we also have a report on the rite of passage from birth up to death, how culturally that is being done. And even in the Ugushwama thing, our chairperson and Commissioner Mkize did intervene in Durban to stop the case going to court
So they intervened in that way. We also worked also with COCTA to come up with a document on Ugushwama and initiation. Then concerning the community development workers, our unit, yeah, public education and advocacy, is working with community development workers. They get them and workshop them according to the mandate of the CRL Commission, and then go also and accompany them to schools and to youth camps and so on in dealing with the mandate of the commission. We do work with them, but as I've mentioned before, because of funding problems, we have got challenges there, but we are utilizing them. Thank you.
Thank you very much, ma'am. What I'm going to ask with you about some of the guidelines for what the commission does, especially what you workshop community councils on. A one-pager for members so that those you can identify in specific constituencies where you have done work, you can link them to members here. That would be very helpful so that they can go and interact with them. So, yeah. And I was going to say you shouldn't have gone and done a research, you'd have come to me. Oh, by the way, you can still call it research, you know. It's sophisticated, yeah. Okay.
We also went to Orania.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to say is we don't only look at one aspect of Kazi, because every human being
dynamic,
has
dynamic,
Kazi is dynamic.
Yeah.
So we also went to Orania in order to learn their culture and what their ideology and philosophy is,
mm-hmm.
and to see how we can work with them and dialogue with them.
Yeah.
And we were very much well received, and we're working with them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The person whose name I won't mention, who was also welcomed there. Say that the... thank you very much for your... This has been very helpful, what you have provided us by way of information today, the follow-ups that has been suggested. We will naturally, in our interaction with the department and the ministry, raise issues that have arisen from this meeting. I'm sure his parliamentary officer there will also communicate to the ministry, and so on. So we hope to follow up this thing. The commission emerged as a result of the recognition that the areas of its mandate were potential flashpoints, that there was a need to create a mechanism, an institution which people would know that when they do have those things, they can go to for that institution to hear their complaints and do something about it. Because in many other countries elsewhere in the world, there doesn't exist any such institutional mechanism. So the only solution is to beat each other up and so on. So this is what this institution was created to do, to close that gap. And the manner in which, obviously, as the Asmal report, I don't remember... which remains an unfinished business, for us to look at and to see the first key point that many of those institutions, including yourself, was the issue that we are dealing with. How is Parliament dealing with them effectively? So what we are dealing with here today is that question. How are we dealing with the issues that arise from the Commission's work and dealing with them effectively? And the second related point is that in creating these institutions, are we treating them in the manner in which they were recognized politically, that they are crucial and important, and that would be reflected in the funding that we give them? And if not, what are the reasons for that? So I'm pointing that out, that it's an important area that we need to follow up on in our discussions going forward. Members, today, after the House, immediately after the House, it might be worth your while.